I debated this morning whether I would read the entire chapter or if I would summarize a little bit and then read the portion that God has put on my heart. And so I'm going to do the latter. I'm going to summarize the context of the scripture before we read it. The portion of scripture that we're reading is during a very dark time in Israel's history. It was the time period before God brought about kings into Israel. The people of God often fell into apostasy, and then when they did, God would deliver them into the hands of their enemies. They would begin to see the error of their ways. They would repent. They would call upon God. God would send a prophet to deliver them. They would typically be obedient as long as the prophet was actively involved. But after his death, they fell into apostasy. They began to see the error of their ways. They were handed over to the enemy. They began to see the error of their ways. And then they would repent and come back to God. And there was just this cycle. When Gideon comes upon the scene, they were being basically taken advantage of by the Midianites. The Midianites would every year swarm upon them when their crops were ready for harvest. And they would basically, like locusts, go in and take from the crops of the people of Israel and leave them in poverty. One day, a young man named Gideon was threshing the wheat in the wine press, hiding back some of the goods from the Midianites before they would come, because he knew once they came, the only thing that was going to be left was something that they would store. So he was busy storing some food back for a bad day that was going to come when the Midianites came, and the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon. And the angel of the Lord told Gideon that God was with him and God was with Israel. And he said, if God is with us, then how have you let all of this calamity come upon our land? And he said, well, I'm going to call you to go out and defeat the Midianites. And you're going to go out and you're going to defeat them basically single-handedly, because I will be with you. Of course, Gideon, he said, well, how do I know that this is really God that's speaking to me? And we've been there before. If God gives us a word and we say, how do I know that that is really God? And he said, would you just sit here for a little bit? And he went back and he made some preparations of a meal, a goat and some unleavened bread. And he set it there on a rock and he poured some broth upon it. And the angel of the Lord caused fire to consume that offering. And the Bible says that Gideon knew that God had spoken to him, that he was going to be with him. And through Gideon, the Midianites would be defeated. And then God told Gideon, he said, not only are you going to defeat the Midianites, but today I want you to go down and take down the altar of Baal from your father's house and let it be known that today you're serving God. So Gideon was afraid and he waited till nightfall and he went out and he destroyed the altar of Baal. He destroyed the Asherah, the goddess a statue that was there. And all the people of the town, this is of Israel, by the way, all the people looked at Gideon and said he should die because he stood against Baal. And Gideon's dad said, well, if he went against Baal, let Baal fight for himself. If Baal is upset, let Baal take care of Gideon. So they renamed Gideon as one that strives against Baal. Well, of course, Baal didn't do anything because Baal's not really a god. Baal was an idol and had no power over Gideon. But after that happened, basically we get to the point where they're going to go and fight. And Gideon called out some help, and he's getting ready to fight against the Midianites and go to battle. And again, he gets scared. And he wants to know, God, are you going to be with me when I go into this fight? And that's where we pick up on what we're going to read this morning. Let's look at verse 36 of the sixth chapter of the book of Judges. And Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and if the dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said to God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, or test, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. That's where I want to stop reading. I want to talk today about Gideon's fleece. First of all, I want to say that I'm not going to glorify everything that Gideon did, because Gideon knew what God had said, and part of the reason for the fleece was he was hesitating. He was hesitating to act upon what he knew was already true. He'd already spoken before that he knew what God's word was toward him. In fact, it says that here in this passage of Scripture. But the first thing that I want to talk about today is that God is not silent, but that God speaks. Amen. That God is not silent, but that God speaks. I would like to think that all of you believe that here today, that God does speak, that He exists, that He's a living God, and that you can hear from Him. I have no use for a religion that says that you can't experience God, because basically if people say that you can't experience God, it's because they haven't. But I want you to know today that God does speak and we can hear them, that our God is not like the idols that so often are worshipped in our culture today, but our God is a living God who speaks to us, who we can hear from and know His will. And it's not just the preachers, and it's not just the prophets and the priests that can hear from God, but that every person is given, if they are believers and are saved by the grace of God, given the opportunity to hear from God, for God does not hide Himself from man, but God is actively revealing Himself to people, and especially those that believe. In the first scripture that I read here in verse 36, it says, Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. Just stop and think for a minute. When Gideon is praying to God, he said, are you going to do what you have said that you're going to do? So one thing that you know about Gideon is that he already knew what God had said. And some of us, we are just like that. We know what God has said. And the question isn't whether or not we believe that He said it. The question oftentimes is, do we believe that what He said is true? And I suppose that what I want to really hit upon today is that God speaks and we can trust those things that He said, Because God cannot lie, and if God has spoken, then what He has said can be trusted, for God is inherently faithful. God spoke to Gideon in several different ways. First of all, whenever the angel of the Lord came to him who sat beneath the tree and saw Gideon there as he was threshing out the wheat, the Bible says that the angel of the Lord came to Gideon and he said some things. He said, if you look at chapter 6 and verse 16, he said to him, he said, "The Lord said to him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." Very clear that it was the Lord that spoke and told Gideon that you will destroy, and by the way, Midian, they were so much more powerful than Israel that they just came in like locusts and devoured all their crops, and Israel couldn't stop them. But he said, you're going to go up and you're going to smite Midian as if they were just one man. The Lord said that. The Lord also gave Gideon a sign of fire when he confirmed his call. God, how can I know for sure that this is really you? And he brought the offering there and he devoured it with fire. And it says that Gideon knew that that was the Lord that was there with him. So it was confirmed that God had called him, even though he said, I'm the least of all the people. I'm of the smallest tribe. Why would you call me? Yet he knew that it was God that had spoken, and he knew that God had said very clearly. God also, by a voice, commanded him to destroy his dad's altar to Baal, and he knew that, and even though he knew that God had spoken it, he was still afraid of those around him. I love that the Bible doesn't pull any punches about people's frailty. Amen? Because we are weak creatures. All of us can relate to Gideon whenever he knew that God had said something, but he was afraid to perform what God had said. So he did it at night when nobody was watching, when they were all asleep. But yet he knew that it was God that had spoken. And by giving Gideon the sign of the fleece, God was again reaffirming to him that he was different than all these gods that their fathers had served, that he was the Lord, the living God, and that he speaks, and that you can hear his voice, and that he is alive, and a God that can be trusted. A quote from Francis Schaeffer is this, "He is there and he is not silent." This morning, just the same way that God spoke to Gideon, God speaks to us. God has not changed in His character. There are some that believe that you cannot really hear from God or know God today. And maybe you today are an unbeliever and you are wondering about those things that you feel and those things that you sense. Is it really God or is it just me? You know, one of the things that I loathe about our society today is we discount the supernatural. And we begin to say, well, there's got to be some kind of scientific, logical explanation for that. And maybe you can trace it back to something like that. But who was it that created the laws of nature? Who was it that you know, when someone says, well, you can perfectly explain that, does that mean that it wasn't God's hand in it just because you can explain it? Miracles happen every day, and you might be able to trace back how God used the things in this world to get it done, but that doesn't mean that God is not speaking. In fact, I would expect if God was the creator of the universe and the world that we live in, that He would use the things that He made in order to get things done that He wants to get done. And maybe you can just look back and explain how that happened, but you can't explain why it happened. Why is it that things act the way that they do? It's because God orders things according to His purpose and according to His will, and God is not silent.
One time I spoke to a young man at a golf resort that I worked at. I can't play a lick of golf, by the way. I mean, not even a little bit. I try and I slice and I pull, and every time I try to do the other thing that I wasn't supposed to do, I go extreme in the other direction. I'm pitiful. And so if anybody's competitive or even close to good, I try not to play with them because I know I frustrate them. But I worked there because it was the only job that I could find. The economy was bad, and I was a service representative at a world-class golf resort that people pay hundreds and thousands of dollars to go and golf at. And I played it a couple times the whole time I was there because I was just so poor. Pitiful. I got the free golf. I was pitiful at golf. But anyway, my boss there, and they always thought this was a fun thing to do, is that because I was a Christian, and early on they quizzed me about my faith and I told them what I believed, they always called me preacher. And I don't really even know if they realized that I really was a preacher, but I think they were just kind of making fun, mocking a little bit. And they'd say, "Hey, preacher, what do you think about this?" Well, I was walking by, I think his name was Travis. I was walking by his office, and he said, "Hey, preacher, come in here. I want to talk to you about something." And I thought, you know, when they address it like that, you know it's going to be good. He said, "Oh, Johnny over here, he's going to go to Vegas, and, you know, we were just wondering if him going to Vegas and gambling was going to send him to hell. Can you tell me, preacher, if that's going to happen?" And I said, "Well, probably he's already done enough to go to hell before he ever went gambling." And they kind of looked at me funny, and I said, "I'm not the judge. I'm just telling you what I think." And he pulled me in. He said, "I want to know something. He said, I would believe in God, but I've never seen him, and I've never heard him." And I said, "Just because you've not seen him or heard him doesn't mean that he hasn't shown himself to you or spoken to you, and you've just stopped your ears. He speaks all around us. Tell me if you can't see God in the things around you in life. You look around at the things in life and you can see God. God is speaking very clearly to the whole world. I believe that there's a general call that came from Calvary for all men and women to believe, and that call went out, and some heard it, and some did not. But it doesn't mean that God has not spoken. God speaks. The Bible says the Word of God is quick. That means it's alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is alive. The Word of God is powerful. Now, I used to think that that meant the Bible. I think it includes the Bible. But I believe that what he's saying here is when God speaks, it's alive, it's powerful, God's Word goes past the human ears, and it goes down into the depths of the heart, and it discerns our thoughts, it discerns our intentions, it discerns our motives, and God's Word just cuts straight through us. Man. And God is speaking. Man. God is actively communicating. Isn't it interesting that the way it describes creation is that everything was made by the Word of God? Yeah. He spoke and it was here. Yeah. People are trying to figure out how the world is made. The Bible says, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The original rendering of that just is, he said, "Light be and light was." As soon as he communicated his desire, it came to pass because the Word of God is powerful. Man. He speaks to us through creation, through those things that he has made. I was reading in Psalm 19. I'll just turn there. I was like blown away. I was telling him in Sunday school, I'm already full before I even got through Sunday school. Psalm 19.
The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. In other words, no matter where you live, no matter what country you're from, the heavens are declaring the glory of God. And the firmament is showing His handiwork, speaking to the awesomeness of God. Their line has gone out through all the earth. Their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun. And the sun is so powerful that if we were just slightly closer to it, the whole world would burn up. And yet God ordered all of that. He's greater than all of that. And He speaks to us through that. He says, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. That's the sun. The law of the Lord is perfect. That's the written word, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. As I read through that, not only did I see that God speaks, but that when God speaks, it changes a man. That he saw the glory of God in the creation. He heard the Word of God, the written Word of God, which the Bible says that men of old penned down that Word as they were carried along and moved by the Holy Spirit. I believe the written Word is God speaking to us. So not only did He make everything around us and order it to where you have to know that the one who made this stuff is brilliant. And brilliant is such a base word for what God is. Just the complexity of the human body and all of the things that have to work together in order, you see, our Maker is awesome. And then the Word of God, volumes of law and prophecy and poetry and history and accounts of all that God has done through human history to let us know that God is, that He speaks, and if He speaks, then we are left without excuse.
Amen.
Listen to me today. If God has spoken to your heart and He has begun drawing you, if you hold back and go against the Word of God and the voice of the Lord, then you'll never be able to say, God has not spoken. You might be able to say that I was disobedient to the Word of God when it came to me. But you cannot say that God has not spoken. And sometimes even God's people go back and say, was that really the Lord or was that indigestion? Was that really the Lord, or was that just my anxiety? Well, some of the keys that we can glean from about how that we know it's God, if it promotes the glory of God and puts down the selfish nature that we have, I want you to know that's not you, that's God. If it begins to move your heart toward worship and obedience to the Word of God, that's not you, that's God. If it's an act of service to help somebody and to demonstrate love, that's not you, that's God. If it calls you to repentance of sin and a trusting in Christ, that's not you, that's God. If it calls you to leave your sinful lifestyle and to surrender to the Almighty,
That's never you. That's always God. You see, and when God is speaking, He speaks in a way that's so clear that you say, I know it was the Lord. Now sometimes there's that other voice that comes along and says, oh, no. That's not God. He wouldn't make you feel like that. He wouldn't make you embarrass yourself like that. He wouldn't make you give up stuff like that. That's not God. That's just your guilty conscience. See, that's the enemy. And I want you to know there's two voices that go out. But the one that we need to obey is the voice of the Lord. God speaks by His Word. Sometimes God speaks by angels. I don't know if I've ever experienced that or not. And you say, Brother Mike, you can't be sure. No, because the Bible says that sometimes angels come in unawares. I don't know. Maybe God has used an angel to speak to me. Maybe He's used other people to speak to me. But you know, He also speaks to us by His Holy Spirit. And probably in our age, most predominantly by the Holy Spirit. Because if you think about it, even when you read the Word of God, without the Holy Spirit, you're not able to interpret it, are you? It takes the Holy Spirit of God to make that life inside of you. And I'm thankful that God is not silent. Some of you are very confused. Wondering if God is silent. Or wondering if you can discern what is the voice of God. If you really want to know, you can find out. But I believe that you're going to have to obey once you know it's the Lord. I think it's very a legitimate point to say, is that really God? And I think that's what Gideon was getting at. And I want you to know, part of that I think is a good attitude. I want to make sure that I know it's God. But once you know it's God, then the command to us is to obey. You see, Gideon maybe had an excuse early on when he was saying, I want to know this is you, Lord. But once God demonstrated that it was him and he knew that, now he was commanded to obey. Just like Gideon, whenever we come to know that something is of God or something is from him, then we are commanded to obey it. If God is drawing you to salvation, then it's your responsibility to follow after that call. If God is telling you as one of His children to give up sin, then it's your responsibility to give that sin up. If He's called you to an act of service or some kind of calling or whatever it would be, like Gideon had to destroy the altar of Baal, you see, once that word is given to you, it's not going to change. Once it's given to you, because God's Word is constant. So when He gives it to you, He just wants you not to test Him or question Him. He just wants you to do what it is that He has said. Amen. Gideon often feebly trusted God's Word. Often asked for a sign. And we can really relate to Gideon in that. He was supposed to be tested by God, and in this passage we see that he's trying to test God. I want to see, God, if you're really going to do what you said that you were going to do. I want to see by you giving me a sign. I want you to just completely defy nature, and I want to see it with my eyes. I want to lay down this wool fleece, and I'm just wanting it to be wet one night, and all the rest of the ground be dry, and then flip it around. And he says, don't be angry with me, God. Don't be upset with me. I'm just going to test you one more time. That's not commended, by the way. Because Gideon knew, and he was just looking for a sign. I've got a question for you. Do you believe that God was required to give Gideon a sign?
Would it have been enough for him to give him the word and then say, go do it? You know what you're supposed to do. Could he not have said, Gideon, just come on, get off with it. I'm not going to honor your little test here. That's not what I've called you to. When it says in chapter 6 of Gideon, or of Judges, where it says that God had proved Israel, that's the same word here where it says that Gideon was proving God. I want to declare something today. God is not on trial. I don't care how many people out in the world don't believe in Him. He is never on trial. He's the author of all things. He's the head of all things. And He's not going to be trivialized. Some people, they just say, well, if God was really real, then, you know, how come this happens and that happens? As if they get to decide. God has not called us to ask for a sign. God has called us to be obedient. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus said about people that said, give me a sign. Give me a sign, Jesus. Please show me that you're really the Messiah. I mean, He raised the dead. He caused the lame to walk. He fed 5,000 with a meager amount of food. And they come to Him and say, show us a sign. But we can relate to that, can't we? Because God all around us is doing miracles and demonstrating that He is who He is. And sometimes we do the same thing. If they will sing hymn 103, then I'll know that you're really real. Well, hymn 103 didn't get called. Or it did. And then you say, well, what about 210? Can you do 210? Maybe if Sister So-and-So stands up and shouts, then I'll know that you're real, God. And sometimes He honors that. And sometimes He doesn't. But He's not on trial. He is faithful. And He is God. And no one will be able to go to judgment and say, you didn't give me enough signs. In fact, here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. What's the sign of the prophet Jonah? Well, he goes to say, he said, just as he was in 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. You want your sign about whether or not God is speaking? Jesus Christ died for your sins. He was buried. He rose on the third day. He sits at the right hand making intercession for those that call upon God. He has revealed to your heart that you need Him and you know it. That's your sign. And anything more is just testing God and putting Him on trial. And every once in a while, He graciously leads you along. But I want you to know if He doesn't, it doesn't mean that He's any less real. Thomas said, if I can just put my finger in the hole of your hand or in your side, I'll believe. And Jesus said, come here. Touch it. Thomas broke down and said, my Lord and my God. And I would have been just like Thomas, so I'm not throwing him under the bus. I'd have said, Jesus, I want to know for sure. I would have been right there with Thomas. But listen to what Jesus said to Thomas. He said, Thomas, because you have seen me, you believe. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Because faith doesn't mean that you have to see it all with your eyes. Sometimes you've got to trust Him with your heart. In fact, always you've got to trust Him with your heart. I've never seen Jesus face to face, but I believe He's real. I believe He really died. He was really buried. He really rose again. He's really sitting at the right hand of God making intercession for me. He dwells within me by His Holy Spirit. I believe that He's here with us. And I believe that you can feel it. I was in Sunday school thinking about salvation and my cup was just a little bit running over. And I sit here and we sang these songs and I could just feel that this wasn't like a concert. There was something different. It feels different. Did it not? As you all were standing here and sitting here singing those songs, didn't it feel just a little different than if you were at school singing some songs? What's the difference? God's presence is the difference. And if He's here, do you think He's not speaking? He's not knocking upon your heart. He's not leading you. He's not guiding you. He's not reproving some things in your life. He's not calling you to holier living. He's not calling you to salvation. He absolutely is. But sometimes we sit back and say, well, I just want to make sure that that's God. I want to make sure you're going to do what you said you were going to do. God's faithful. God's faithful. When we are weak, God is still faithful. Even with Gideon. Gideon was weak, but he ended up being made very strong by the power of God. Gideon was learning to trust Him. He was feeble in his faith here, but God still led him along, didn't He? Now, He didn't have to give him that sign, but I know that Gideon, when he saw that his faith was confirmed, and he was thankful for yet another sign. Has God ever given you a sign? I don't know. Maybe He has, maybe He hasn't. I've seen some of those things that God has done that He demonstrated that He was still there. I should have believed He was there anyway. Then all of a sudden, He'll just kind of smack something there and say, here, I'm proving myself that I'm here. And it's just like you almost have to take a deep breath and say, whoa. Sometimes we're weak. God is faithful. You can always trust Him. Always trust Him. I might ask this. Has there ever been anything that He's done, that He's done, that caused you to not trust Him? Maybe you say, well, you know, there was this death in my family, and I'm not sure why He let that happen. I want you to know it wasn't God that made death. God's the author of life. He's the giver of life. He gives eternal life. But we are in a fallen world filled with sin and destruction and pain and sickness. But none of that is greater than God. And when we go to God, He allows us to deal with that, cope with that, be freed from that. He saves us from sin. And all the effects of it. He is always faithful. I want to give testimony this morning. I have not always been faithful. But in my life, 100% of the time, God has been faithful. And if He's speaking to your heart, you can trust Him. I want to close with this, just to say that we need to believe God without delay. We need to trust God without delay. Jesus said when He was tempted by Satan, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. If you're living by His word, that means you're obeying His word and depending on it. That's what faith is. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Gideon got up from that event where God had shown Himself to be very gracious and merciful toward him and honored his request for a test. And then God tested him. And He said, we're going to really strip down your army to just a few men, and I need you to obey me. And I have to think that all these times that God was leading him along, was preparing him for that fight, when He finally trusted him to break some jars and call out and just trust in God's salvation. We need to trust the Lord. If God is calling you, is speaking to you, we need to obey the voice of God. What does the church need today to be successful? It's not successful like it used to be. What do we need? More programs? More gimmicks? A change of strategy? No, we need God. We need God's Spirit. We need to obey God's Word. We need to trust God's Word. And we trust God's Word because we trust God. We need lost soul. You need to trust God. You don't need some powerful earthquake to happen or some shining light. You need to obey the Word of God that's come to you. To just say, God, I believe You. I trust You. I'm going to surrender all to You. I need You worse than I need anything in life. I want You to know if You can get your heart like that, God answers prayers like that. And we as God's people, we need revival, don't we? But what we need more than revival is we need the presence of God. That brings revival. How do we get the presence of God? We obey God. We trust God. And we wait upon God until it comes. And if it tarries, we just keep on trusting God. I'm encouraged by Gideon, even though I see that what he did probably wasn't commended. I can relate, huh? And it teaches me that God is always faithful. And I need to trust the Lord and stop relying upon signs. Stop relying upon wonders and just rely on the faithfulness of the Lord. God bless you. Pray God would use His Word to speak to our hearts and that we would obey what He says in our hearts. Let's have a song. I want to say if anybody here this morning, you feel troubled of heart. Maybe you felt troubled of heart for a while or this is a new feeling for you. I want to encourage you to seek the Lord during this hymn of invitation. As we all stand and sing, this is a time of prayer. If you feel like you need to pray, no one will think bad about you if you need to get down on your knees and pray and ask for God to save you, to forgive you, to lead you, whatever it is that He's drawing you to do. I just pray that you'd be obedient to the Lord this morning. Let's all stand and sing.